And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The Four Nations break is just a few short days away. For some fantasy owners, it will act as a solid reflection period. Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 18 Mailbag Edition. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Jake Hahn. What's going on, Jake?
Sometimes we all need a little time to reflect, Nick. And I know a lot of fantasy owners out there are going to need these 2 weeks. But then you got to come out strong. Your guys are going on a little vacation. You got to come out strong. You're only going to have a few weeks left before fantasy playoffs. So this episode brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Well done, Jake. And as expected, the mailbag overflowing for this week's edition of the mailbag. Also, Michael Leboff will drop by for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365.
Oh, baby, I can't wait. Pete's got envelopes flying out of his shirt, out of his collar. He's got stamps. He's licking stamps. The mailbag is packed. We'll get to it, baby.
All I could think about, there's going to be a couple of things to bet on Sunday, and the coin toss. So, Jake, I'm going to let you kick things off. Do you want to start with some good stuff or some sort of negative stuff?
I don't want to be negative to start the show, okay, Nick. So let's get a little positive. And I'm not a coin toss guy. I know, like, if you're going to bet the coin toss at the Super Bowl, by the way, bet it with your buddies at the party. Don't pay the juice on the sports book. You know, get just plus 100, both sides, heads or tails. Why are you betting like minus 105, minus 110 on a coin toss, Bobby?
People love the coin toss. Again, I'll throw it out there for the listeners in Canada. If you're doing the coin toss, Connects Ontario, please go call them. You need help. You have a problem. All right, Nick, the coin toss, I know it's a fun little bet, but you need to be on with Connects Ontario if you're doing the coin toss.
Yeah, that's translation. Don't bet on the coin toss. Bet on the Gatorade color. Purple. Purple is the color I'm going with at plus money here. Okay, so since you want to do that, and again, at airtime, we don't know if this is going to happen. Very likely. You know, this is my house account. Cover the Maple Leafs. Least morning take at the Leafs Nation 401 on YouTube. Check it out. Anthony Stolarz expected, Jake, to make his return out since December 12th, lower body injury. Joseph Woll's been fantastic in relief, obviously, with Stolarz down. But is this a file that you're buying, you're selling right now? What are your expectations for Anthony Stolarz and his return?
I think buying. Obviously, you're always a little bit worried when a goaltender is coming back from injury, right, Nick? We talk about this. Even when they come back, okay, are they going to be the same before they went down? I just have to assume that he's healthy, especially if he's coming back before Four Nations, Nick. I'm a little surprised if they're going to get him a start. Maybe this is just, okay, I'm healthy. I don't want to wait another 2 weeks. I want to get into some game action. I assume they would take the 2 week break and have him come back afterwards, make sure he's totally 100%. So if this is the case, if he's going to return before Four Nations, I have to think that he is 100%. Maybe he's been ready for a little while now, and I'm ready to fire up Anthony Stolarz, because we remember he was one of the better fantasy files before he went down, and he joins a Leafs team that should win a fair share of games in the rest of the season here.
This is a very interesting file in that before the injury, he was playing like Logan Thompson has been playing all season long, where he was actually considered highly in the Vezina conversation. There's been one guy who's running away with the award. We all know that in Winnipeg, but he was in consideration. And that's my wonder, can he get back to that level? And that's why I asked you the question off the top, buy or sell, because I wonder if he's hit his peak for fantasy value this season. That's all I'm saying. And I wonder if the safer option down the stretch could actually be Joseph Woll. Like, I think naturally, and I'm sure this is in the mailbag as well, a lot of people asking about Joseph Woll, what to do with him. I expect a tandem down the stretch for the Leafs.
I think it's going to be closer to a 50-50 split, but I do think there's going to be a lean towards Joe Woll, Nick. When the Leafs get in situations when there's like a couple days off between games, any situations like that, I think they're going to go back to Woll. Obviously, back-to-back situations, they're probably going to split the starts, and you know, maybe we do get something close to 50%, but with Stolarz coming off of an injury, you know, question marks about his health, I know Joe Woll has been injury-prone himself as well. I would say maybe closer to 60-40 in favor of Woll, and I still think at the end of the day, he's their guy game one of the postseason. So you want to get him primed and ready to go for that. If I'm a Joe Woll owner, I still feel good. I'm not too worried about Stolarz coming in and bleeding into the starts. And I don't know how much value there would be in trading a Stolarz right now while there's so many question marks, right? I think if you were going to sell high on him, it probably would have done it before the injury.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm buying right now on Joseph Woll for sure. Positive regression on that front. Ditto for Utah and getting Dylan Gunther back, man. That is massive, especially with Logan Cooley going down last week, right?
I think Torts is going to bench everybody that was on the ice for that 3-on-3 overtime goal that they gave up. Because I'm watching it. I'm watching that game live, and I'm thinking, man, how do you give up a goal with like 0.4 seconds left in 3-on-3 OT, and you let Gunther, a guy with an incredible shot like that, get that shot off? So Torts probably not a happy man about that, but the happy people out there are the Dylan Gunther owners that get this kid back. He is lethal, and he's not afraid to use that shot, Nick. We've seen a lot of these young players come into the league. They've got this great shot. We see it with Bedard. We see it with Celebrini. We're seeing it with Dylan Gunther. The difference between Gunther and maybe a Bedard right now, Gunther's not afraid to shoot it. It feels like Bedard's a little bit more passive. He's trying to set up his teammates, which is great. We want it. We want that part of the game too. Gunther just gets in the zone and rips it head down, and we love that. So if I'm a Gunther owner right now, I'm thrilled to see him back and producing right out of the gate again.
I would just say, where's that Bedard versus Celebrini conversation? Oh, I'm gone, Jake. Dylan Gunther, I'm all about this file, man. He's lived up to the expectations so far here in Utah. The contract fits the bill, and I think there's a higher ceiling than what we saw to start the year. Like, it excites me that he's back in the mix here, and I think it's always a struggle considering some of the injuries up front, but he's a guy who can carry a fantasy squad.
Well, I like a lot of the files on Utah, to be completely honest. I don't know if there's anybody else on there that you're interested in, Nick. I think Clayton Keller's a guy we have not talked about enough this year. I know he's owned up. You're not going to scoop up Clayton Keller, but just somebody to shout out from the perspective of a value fantasy play this year, and a guy that just continues to produce. Somebody I've been firing out in the prop market, whether it's shots, points, doesn't seem to matter. So I still think there's a ton of value in that Utah team moving forward. And hey, maybe they can still find time to creep themselves back in that Western playoff race, but it's going to be difficult.
Speaking of value, delivered by our good friends over at Skip, overwhelming amount of questions about the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Jake, I'll just put this out there. What did I say about the Montreal Canadiens 2 weeks ago? Everybody's fired up. They're making the playoffs. No, they're not. And I talked about my futures. I had Columbus. I had Montreal making the playoffs. I think both are dead, unfortunately. In Columbus, a lot of people asking about replacements for Zach Werenski. Day-to-day undisclosed right now, but more so on Kirill Marchenko, Jake. Out indefinitely, broken jaw. I think offense is going to be a struggle for that team.
It might be. Obviously, we've seen this team just kind of move forward with injuries throughout the course of the season, right? Monahan goes down. Okay, it's Fantilli's turn. He steps up and he starts to produce. So as much as Marchenko is a huge blow offensively, Nick, I still think they have the parts up there to be decent. They are going to suffer a little bit, but they have other guys in that lineup. So maybe we look to a Voronkov. We continue with Fantilli and what he's been doing. And I don't know the timetable of Monahan, but it sounds like he's still going to be out quite some time. Replacements for Werenski, it feels kind of easy if you're just looking in-house, right? Do we just fire up Ivan Provorov? I think he had 1-1 in the game after that Werenski didn't play, and he's going to get the power play time. So I like Provorov, and he's been playing some monster minutes with Werenski down these last couple games.
And speaking of Zach Werenski, make sure to check out the latest edition of NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Demare. Zach Werenski was a guest on there, talk Four Nations, obviously going to be playing in that tournament, and tells a very heartwarming, motivational story on Johnny Hockey. And of course, that's the inspiration for Columbus' season, producer Bob.
Oh my God, it was a tearjerker, but also simultaneous. It's very rare where you get the simultaneous emotion that tears start running down your eyes, but then as the tear gets all the way down to your lip, you say, you get all fired up, motivational. You know, it's unbelievable. Go listen to it. Again, please go listen to it. Rate and review and do all the things you do, and subscribe, and just please, because if not, I might be out of a gig. All right.
And that's fair.
I know there's a lot of people out there that want me gone, but I'm holding on for dear life.
I wouldn't lose sleep on that, to be quite frank about it, but go check that out. Zach Werenski's a fantastic interview, and looking forward to the Four Nations. Getting back to the conversation, Jake, about replacements, I like that shout right there with Provorov. Good look the other night. I think if there's a way to bet Columbus, probably the under right now, not to bring Pete's Buffalo Sabres into this conversation. They've won four in a row. I'm sure it's coming at some point in this pod. Pete's going to talk on hype up Buffalo for the playoffs. I'm not ready for that just yet, but they're cooking. Externally, Thomas Chabot, 5 points in the last six games. Jackson Lacombe, I would look at again. Aaron Ekblad and Tony DeAngelo with the red-hot New York Islanders. In terms of external replacements, Jake, for Kirill Marchenko, that's a big blow, man. Claude Giroux, J.J. Paterka, and your boy Pavel Dorofeev with Vegas.
Oh, I like that you're shouting him. I don't have to bring up Dorofeev for once. Nice. That's nice. People are probably like, okay, this guy's bringing up Dorofeev again. So I'm glad you're doing it. I think you could look to a couple of different names, too, on the back end. I know I've mentioned Darren Radish a few times recently, still getting some power play time out there in Tampa. Filip Ronick is someone to keep an eye on in Vancouver as well, especially with Quinn Hughes. It doesn't sound like it's long-term for Hughes, but even with Hughes back, I think Ronick can carry some fantasy value. So he's someone I'm looking at. Always difficult to mine value from the back end, as we know, Nick. So losing a guy like Werenski, you're probably not going to replace him, but you do your best to tread water in the time being.
Exactly. Delivered by Skip. I'm bringing in Pete Jensen for this question. This is his house account sure. Nick Alberga is a Dmitry Voronkov owner. Pete, I'm telling you, Thursday is the decider, man. If I can't get much, I'm dumping out on this file. I just don't know how you feel about Voronkov with nobody around him. With all due respect, some of the younger players, Fantilli's been good, Sillinger's been good, but a lot of injuries there.
I would hang tough if he's playing with Fantilli. Fantilli's been a stud through thick and thin for that team. So that connection, I'm willing to have another week or two of patience, you know, take the Four Nations break off a little bit and clear your head and go to battle with Dmitry Voronkov. I've been a fan of that player for a while. There's also a really good fan question delivered by Skip surrounding a forward that you maybe could replace Marchenko with. Is Dylan Cousins worth the ad if he's available on the waiver wire, assuming he gets traded? There are a lot of rumors. I feel like with Dylan Cousins, guys, it just depends on the landing spot, right? If he lands somewhere where he's going to play in the top six, then I'll be fired up. If he's going to be a third liner, I'm not too interested.
Well, Nick, you're a big rumor guy. What do you feel about Dylan Cousins and that trade potential? Is this going to be another Buffalo young player that they trade, and then 3 years from now they're hoisting the Stanley Cup or they're doing special things? Like, this kind of smells a little bit like Sam Reinhart. I'm not saying Cousins is going to be Reinhart in a few years, but it reeks a little bit of that, and I know Calgary's been kicking tires. So what do you think? Do you think there's actually potential Cousins can get traded here?
I think there is, and the Buffalo Sabres do everything we endorse not to do as fantasy owners: sell low. And that's what seems what's coming up next. This guy's got a billion years left in his deal at 7.1 sheets. I think he's got 5 years left after this one. He was linked to Calgary, Toronto, the Montreal Canadiens. I'm with Pete. Like, it depends on landing spot. The only thing I will say with scooping up Cousins right now, he's a bit dinged up, from what I understand. So who knows what that means, leading up to the Four Nations. But I'd probably steer clear for now and wait and see on the Cousins front.
It's tough. Like, that file looked good a couple of years ago. We were all thrilled about it, and now it's fizzled out, just like a lot of these files tend to do in Buffalo. Yeah. But it's what you said. If you're trading him right now as the Sabres, what are you getting back for him? Are you going to regret this one in a couple of years? At some point, the Sabres have to locate which guys are going to be a part of the future and which guys aren't, and they'll have to decide if Cousins is one of those guys. I got another one for you here, Nick, from the mailbag. This is a good one. Did Trocheck lose fantasy value with the arrival of his buddy JT? And that JT obviously being JT Miller coming over to the Rangers. So do you actually think that Trocheck has taken a hit fantasy-wise, whereas guys like Mika Zibanejad have been elevated a little bit?
Unequivocally is the answer. I was fading Trocheck to start the year. I mean, in general, the New York Rangers have been an auto fade, but the last little while, it is buy time. And kudos to Pete for calling this about a month ago. But Mika Zibanejad, I'm glad I held on to him in one of my non-keeper leagues. He's been on fire. The Miller acquisition has been so crucial for that team, where it's like you're also feeling good about the crease too, and Igor Shesterkin. Like, there's a lot of reasons. But to answer your question, yeah, I think his file took a dip with this acquisition, weirdly enough, right?
It's really going to come down to line combos, right? Because the sample size on Miller with this version of the Rangers is still relatively small. We see them stack that top line. I think that's the easiest thing to do when you bring in a guy like Miller, is just stack a top line, right? If you don't have time to practice and acclimate, just put all the big boys together, let them figure it out and see what happens. Long term, the Rangers could mix things up a little bit, and that might be a good thing. Maybe Trocheck gets back with Panarin. I think being with Panarin is the key, right? If Trocheck's with Panarin, I think he's obviously got a ton of value. If he's not, I don't know, only maybe a deep league value. So I'm not giving up on him just yet, because it really is line mate dependent. But if he's not playing with his buddy Breadman, it's a bit of a tough sell right now.
Delivered by Skip. A lot of questions about some other injuries that we're keeping our eyes close tabs on. Sidney Crosby with the Pittsburgh Penguins. If he can't go, obviously with Malkin out, Cody Glass is a guy I would look at. Philip Hedo in Vancouver also. Kadri's been hot with Calgary. Cole Perfetti with Winnipeg. Morgan Geeky contract year with the Boston Bruins. Matthew Barzal out indefinitely. Lower body injury. I think Brock Nelson's a guy I would scoop up there. Because we did get a couple questions about what to do, Jake, with Barzal. Yeah. And or Dobson in terms of being drop candidates. I'm guessing this is a non-keeper league format.
Well, yeah, I was going to throw that one at you too, so I'm curious your opinion. Are we just drop? Like, obviously, if you have an IR spot available, you throw these guys on there. It's different in every league. Some leagues have three or four IR spots, and you can load them up. Others only play with maybe one or two, so you're a bit limited. And then you got to make those decisions. Okay, is this player really going to come back and have an impact for me in fantasy playoffs? I don't love what I'm hearing on Matt Barzal, Nick. It does not sound good. It sounds like they're maybe dancing around something that could be close to season ending. So if I'm giving up on one of those two players, it probably is him, and just saying, hey, if I don't have the IR spot, it's too late in the fantasy season now, right? Like, what are you hanging on for the possibility of him maybe coming back for your fantasy final or something?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's a caveat for me. If you have an IR slot, it's pretty easy, but obviously this person's asking because they don't have an IR spot. Even Dobson, I'm ready to jump out on. He's just had a miserable, tough year. And in general, Jake, and I know Pete's going to hate this, like, the Islanders don't score goals. They're not the first option I'm going in fantasy hockey. I know we did promote a couple weeks ago. I stand with it. Tony D'Angelo, it's so hard to find defensemen. You have to go after files like that. But, Pete, I'd love for you to weigh in on this.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I feel like Tony D could stay on power play one even when Dobson comes back. Dobson was not having a good season at all offensively or in terms of his well-rounded play after really knocking it out of the park last year and having a breakout season. So I feel like, you know, keeping Dobson to a heavy workload at even strength will give the Islanders a best chance to win. And they got Tony D to run the power play, and he's got points in four of his first six games since the signing.
Who knew we would be talking fantasy relevant Tony D'Angelo? If you would have told me that about a month ago, I'd say who, where, what team? Like, what are we doing here? But Pete's right. I mean, the opportunity is there. And the first game with the Islanders, he played like 24, 25 minutes. They trusted him right out of the gates, and he's playing hockey. So it's not like he had kind of been sitting there not playing for anybody. So, you know, he came in with a little bit of form, and he's kind of hit the ground running and always been a guy that's been able to quarterback a power play. Also like Romanov on that back end, probably more for a bangers league, right? That across the board, you get the blocks, the hits, everything like that. He is playing monster minutes on the back end for the Islanders right now in the absence of Noah Dobson.
Delivered by Skip, our good friend Elijah, who is a big fan of this podcast, slid in my DMs early in the morning last night. Hey, Nick, should I pick up Toffoli and drop Mikael Granlund? How do you feel about that, Jake? I told him to do it, by the way.
Okay, so picking up Toffoli, dropping Granlund, I think that's tough for me. I'm going to need to see a little bit more from Granlund and what he's looking like in Dallas. The problem with Dallas, I've said this before, Nick, is it is so spread out that I think it hurts everybody individually. I don't think you're going to get the production from Granlund in Dallas that you got in San Jose. So from that side, yes, I understand the question, and I feel like Toffoli's role might actually get elevated a little bit with a hole in that lineup, right? So I think short answer, yes, I would, but I do still think Granlund's a talented player. Maybe he finds a good combo there in Dallas.
I'm always fascinated with moves like this because it's all about pressure, baby. And Granlund's had no pressure playing hockey the last couple years. Right. Now you go to a hotbed like Dallas who are trying to win a Stanley Cup, there's pressure. And a different deployment too, whereas Toffoli, a vet, he knows what he signed up for. It's cool down the stretch. San Jose is going to be in contention, obviously. For the first overall pick, like, just everything's aligning with San Jose being like a deep sleeper late in this season, boys. I think it's a team I'm willing to buy on right now. Pete's boy, Will Smith, Celebrini, like everybody and their mother. I think there's a lot of value to uncover in teams in fantasy hockey late in the season when there's not a lot of pressure, Jake.
I love that angle. Honestly, one of my favorite angles, the doom and gloom angle for these teams that are totally out of it, nothing to play for. We might as well just name this the Buffalo Sabres, because this is what Buffalo does every year. True. Games don't mean anything. They're going to win a bunch of games. But hey, we need to be ready to attack that from a fantasy and from a gaming perspective. So lots of these teams, line them up, get your Sabres, whoever's out of the playoffs. Anaheim's another team I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at you, Anaheim. You've been playing some sneaky good hockey now that you're out of it a little bit. So the Ducks, little fantasy value there.
Petey, we're almost at the point here where you can bring back the San Jose Sharks quarter zip. You've been waiting nearly a decade for this. This team's starting to rise a little bit with the young talent and what's going on. Greer doing a nice little job there. They look organized, Pete. Looks like that San Jose Sharks quarter zip can be brushed off and thrown on at some point. I want to see it next week maybe after Four Nations we get the quarter zip going, Petey.
We'll get that back in the rotation for sure. I love when teams embrace the rebuild. The Kings did it a couple years ago, and they turned things around in like a season and a half, and that's what the Sharks are doing here, right? Kind of take the return from the Erik Karlsson trade, Granlund, and you know, give him first power play, all these points, and then, you know, ship him off and get some decent return back up for your future. So, yeah, job well done for Greer. People were doubting him year and a half ago, but he's made a bunch of great moves over the past couple of months.
Lastly, just wanted to get your opinion, Jake. Mikko Rantanen owner, starting to hear from them, delivered by Skip, starting to hear from them. How are we feeling, Jake?
Oh, I can feel the impatience. It's like, how is he not, you know, 3 points a game in Carolina? We did warn this. We warned this when the trade happened. Don't expect the same production in Carolina that you were going to get in Colorado. Kind of similar to what we said with Granlund, right? Going to Dallas on a lesser scale. I understand Granlund's not Rantanen, but okay, everyone's used to this massive production. Colorado's a top-heavy team. Now you go to Carolina. Rod likes to roll the four lines. He likes to mix things up. So I think we expected this. It's just part of it. If you wanted to get out of Rantanen, you probably would have had to do it right away, right after that trade. I think now might be a little bit too late. But if you're a worried Rantanen owner, I don't hate the idea of actually trading him and seeing what you can get back, because I think we're going to see a different version of Rantanen with the Canes than we did with the Avalanche.
You know who should be worried? The Carolina Hurricanes, because they're quickly going to become the Toronto Blue Jays of the NHL, where they strike out and they strike out. It's happening again. I'm sorry to say it. I don't think Renton's re-signing there, and you gave up quite a bit to pick up the player. It happened with Jake Ensel last year, but from a fantasy perspective, we did call it. It is early on. It was a shock of a trade. I get it. It takes some time, to get back involved with a new team and a new place you've never really been a part of, clearly. So I'm going to take a wait and see, but I think if there's an opportunity to sell on an extremely good file, I think now is the time on Mikko Rantanen and Jake.
What about another Finn? We got a mailbag question on this one. What about another Finn who's obviously going to be out for Four Nations, but what do you do in fantasy with Miro Heiskanen, Nick? Are we just
drop?
Like, if you don't have, it sounds like it might be close to the end of the season. Like that sounds like Dallas, they're calling it month to month. I don't know if I've ever really heard that timeline. Like we hear the week to week, but month to month, to me, that sounds like they're dancing around a possible season ending injury.
Well, I would weaponize LTIR, too. Don't forget that. Tyler Seguin, Miro Heiskanen, you free up a good considerable amount of coin. Pete, I don't think that team is done by any respect. Like, Dallas is a team, between now and March 7th, I think they're going to make some more noise here.
They got to add on defense, even if Heiskanen's healthy. I feel like that's always their Achilles heel. I know we like Harley in fantasy, and people have hung tough with him. He's still 80% rostered, even though he was, you know, the number two defenseman behind Heiskanen. So he gained some value in that situation. I like the Hronik look as a replacement, Tony D, some of these other guys. There's a lot out there. Owen Power is also heating up for Buffalo.
Petey, we have the video for a reason. I'm cycling the fingers as fast as I can to get you to wrap, because we got the one and only Michael Leboff coming up, and we got Nick. This is the best part of the show. Come on, Nick, get the read going. Come on, where is it? Get it going. We're doing it live today. Go ahead, let it ride. Let it go.
Now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnectsOntario.ca. It is Leboff time. Let's bring in Michael Leboff. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. My Islanders are red hot. Patrick Roy equated them to Rocky getting off the mat. I love that analogy. Things are really heating up here on Long Island, and then we get a nice little break for everyone to get healthy. So I'm back in, baby. I'm really excited.
They're on fire, and the Sorokin buy-low window officially closed. But I want to start there. Obviously, the Islanders on fire. How will you be playing this team over the next couple weeks after the Four Nations, of course, especially with Barzal going down? They're not skipping a beat, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. The next two games are interesting. They got Minnesota and Winnipeg on a back-to-back. I think I got that order wrong, though. But so for those two games, I think that they're a really good overtime bet. They did not hide their hand at all against Vegas. The other night, this is a team that's looking to inch ahead or just hang around in games right now without Barzal, of course, they're so banged up on the blue line. We might be looking at a situation where, like, Tony DeAngelo is their longest tenured blue liner by the time game 82 rolls around. It's crazy what's going on with this team. But they're there to protect the house, let Sorokin make the saves, and keep games close, because they know they're not going to play teams out of the building. So against teams like Winnipeg and Minnesota, I think both those teams will be perfectly fine with that kind of game. And those two games are two I've circled to go to overtime. They're definitely a team you'd be looking to build off of the under and low event games, maybe first period nil nils, stuff like that, because they're gonna come out and look to just shut things down from the moment that the puck is dropped right now. And who can blame them with the roster they're icing?
Couple things you said there I really like, Leboff. I like the angle, especially the first period unders. We've seen quite a few low scoring starts across the NHL, really, but particularly for the Islanders, so I like that angle. I also love the overtime angle. Nick, you and I talked about this a little bit on a previous episode, especially with those interconference teams, right? You talk about them playing Winnipeg, Minnesota. Let's just go to OT and then we'll play for that extra point, right? Who else in that Eastern Conference race, Leboff, are you maybe buying or selling at this point? Is there any teams you're looking to fade here moving forward, or maybe any teams you're looking to buy into?
Yeah, anytime those interconference teams play, I always look for that handshake agreement, like the 1982 World Cup in Spain with West Germany and Austria, when they decided to draw 1-1 so they both could get through. It's the disgrace of Guillaume, it's called. I'm looking at the Red Wings are really baffling, and I feel like we see this out of Detroit every year. They'll go on a hot run and you're just wondering if it's real or not. And I do think that there's something to be said about Tom McClellan just being a really good coach at executing and getting his teams to get games over the line. But when you look at, like, the goals saved above expected over this stretch, Cam Talbot and Alex Lyon are both playing so well. And you just wonder if that's going to be able to maintain itself, especially with a break, right? Like, who knows how any goalie comes back after 2 weeks off? So Detroit is not a team that I'm like doubting can hang around, but I don't want to. I think they'll be just way too overvalued in the market. And I'm looking at Columbus right now. They're an underdog tonight, right? Like, it's a weird line. I think that the value is now back on Columbus, a team that had their hot streak. Now look like they're coming back down to earth and everyone's abandoned ship. So I think Columbus will be a little interesting game to game, because I do think even with the injuries, they got some bite.
Like the unders for Columbus, I mentioned that a bit earlier on, but curious to get sort of your opinion and breakdown of, like, some of the big wheeling and dealing the last couple weeks in the NHL. It seems like positive regression all around the table, Vancouver, the New York Rangers. But we talked about Carolina. I mean, it's been a bit of a struggle for Mikko Rantanen, but how are you playing some of these teams down the stretch here?
The hockey world gets so, like, starts foaming at the mouth anytime a trade gets made. And when I looked at that deal, I was like, I thought that was a home run for Colorado, considering what they were giving up. Like, if you're trading Mikko Rantanen to get back the, you know, Marty Natchez and a good bottom six center, I think they did as well as you could imagine there. And everyone seemed to focus so hard on Carolina that you knew right away that Carolina was going to be overvalued. And I think that's shown to be the case. Like, that system's so tough to learn, especially if you're coming from a different conference. Maybe it'd be a little easier if you played against Carolina more often than Rantanen did, or a different kind of player. But this is going to be a little bit of a learning curve for him and for the Hurricanes, I think, considering he's going to be relied on so hard. We have no idea how this is going to work out. So I still think that Carolina is I'm a little skeptical of them. They were installed right at the top of the board, right behind, like, Edmonton, in between Edmonton and Florida, as a Stanley Cup favorite when they made that trade. Still don't trust the goaltending. They've got demons in the playoffs. This team, to me, maybe they're a little bit better on paper than over the past few years, but they're not that different. So they've got more work to do to like convince me that they deserve to be up that high.
That jump up the odds board was crazy to me, Leboff. I didn't understand that at all. I think a lot of that was just people rushing to the sports book and wanting a piece of Carolina, right? That foaming at the mouth that you referenced, that as soon as a trade happens, well, I got to get a piece of the future. And it got a little overboard for me. But speaking of futures, I think this point of the year, it's tough with awards, right? A couple of them, you kind of know where it's going to go. But we still have some contentious races. I mean, the Hart Trophy is still very much up for grabs. A Vezina Trophy seems like a two-horse race right now. Logan Thompson's pushing Hellebuck a little bit. Calder Trophy still up for grabs. Is there any number you're still looking at that might be juicy enough for us to grab?
Yeah, I do agree. I think that most of them have settled, and we talk before every season, we talk about how there's always value on a few goaltenders in the Hart Trophy race, and you just got to be able to know that one out of every 10 years, basically, you're looking to cash in on that and have the patience. And I don't think – I think Hellebuck should be the favorite right now. 30 games left for most teams, so much can change over the second half. And that's why I like a different race, and I like the value on Matvei Michkov at 60-1 to win the Calder Trophy. It seems like everyone's just kind of written him off in a weird way. He's not that far behind Lane Hutson and Celebrini in the rookie points race. I do think that when push comes to shove, like, John Tortorella will relent and give him a longer leash as we get towards the end of the season. Right now we're in the dog days. He gets a 2-week break. Then he comes back. He should be fresher. They can hopefully work some things out. And Michkov can get white hot like he was to kind of start the season, and maybe he can start impacting the game a little bit more at 5-5. But this is a guy who is the favorite to win this award coming out of the gates. Then for the first month, that everyone was kind of like, oh, well, this race is over with Celebrini on the sidelines and Michkov playing well. And now he's 60-1, despite not really putting a foot wrong. It's just kind of narrative based off of the relationship with Tortorella, or the perceived relationship with Tortorella. So I think 60-1 on this guy. Like, if I came to you and I showed you the points race and I offered you 60-1 on Michkov without giving you any of the kind of context, I think you'd jump and bite my hand off for that number.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, Andre Kuzmenko coming into the mix too. He played a couple games with him in the KHL. Maybe that sparks, you know, having a countryman come into the organization. We'll see how that does. But I want to get your thoughts on the card lastly on Thursday. A couple things I'm looking at. I like the under between Carolina and Minnesota. Florida and St. Louis, I'm going to play the Matthew Tkachuk shot prop. And I like the Leafs in regulation against Seattle.
Yeah, I like I actually like Seattle in that game. I don't know what to make of the Leafs right now. I think that they're really reliant on goaltending. I think the perception of this team has always been that they've got this high powered offense and they need to outscore their defensive troubles. Well, now it's kind of like the opposite. Like, they need the saves to prop up an offense that isn't really clicking at all. So I do think that they're a vulnerable favorite when they're laying this kind of price, especially on the road. Seattle's not been great, but you know, you got to hold your nose sometimes. Like I said, I like Columbus. I think that they're a little undervalued against a Utah team that is not all that much better than them. And I have got a little bit of interest in the Wild at home as a pretty big underdog against Carolina. We know Minnesota has a pretty high ceiling. They're banged up too, but I just don't think that the prices they're dealing out on Carolina are on par with where they're at right now and since the trade. So I think there's still just way too much respect being given to the Hurricanes on a game-to-game basis.
We got a little parlay cooking for the listeners tonight, guys, over at Bet365. Actually had myself a great Thursday at Bet365 last week. Unfortunately, our parlay, the one myself and Meanie cooked up, it fell apart a little bit. But we're gonna keep it a little bit more simple this week, guys. Nick, let me know what you think about this one. Just three guys to pick up a point. Nice and easy, nice and simple. Three matchups I really like. Clayton Keller to pick up a point against the Jackets. Leboff, I do like what you said about the Jackets on the money line, but I still think they're going to give up a few goals, maybe a couple goals tonight. Clayton Keller's been in on the action a lot this year, so I like Clayton Keller to pick up a point. Auston Matthews to pick up a point against the Seattle Kraken. Kraken don't defend well. They don't get good goaltending. I think Matthews is good for at least one tonight, maybe two, but we're going to play it safe. We're going to go for one. And EP40, Elias Pettersson, not my favorite guy to back, but they're facing the Sharks tonight. Buddy, if you're a big boy, JT Miller's gone. It's time to step up. Miller's gone. Guy that was picking on you in the room, whatever was going on, it's time to step up. You're facing the Sharks tonight. How do you not get a point, buddy? Come on.
All right, Jake Hahn in the kitchen, opening up the oven, and Drew Lyons, our guy over at Bet365.
Love you, Drew.
He loves this. He loves Everybody give a round of applause to Drew. Thank you so much, Drew. All righty, Jake. Nice. Hopefully we can hit one of these, you know, right? I mean, we've come close.
Hey, we hit the first one.
We did.
And, you know, last couple, we lost our way a little bit, but we're gonna keep it simple this one. We just want winners.
Okay, final thoughts from Leboff. What's going on, Leboff? Do you have anything for the... I know you're not a huge football guy, but it is Super Bowl week, guys. We might have a Super Bowl play that Leboff's got up his sleeve. Final thoughts to Leboff. Closing thoughts, reflections on the hockey board, Super Bowl, wherever you want to go, Leboff. Floor is yours.
Yeah, I my favorite thing to do with the Super Bowl is to go to picture what your least... the least likely outcome for you in your head is, and then to build off of that. And I did this a couple years ago with a TCU Michigan college football playoff game, and everyone was expecting it to be low scoring and Michigan to kind of just like rugby their way to a win. And I said, well, what if they can't stop TCU? So I bet the over 50.5 points on TCU, and I think they got to 51. It was one of the biggest caches of my life because of I accidentally bet it twice. So I like to think of that. So everyone's probably expecting this game to come down to, you know, Mahomes and Hurts, I guess. Like, I don't know much about football, but these are two good quarterbacks going at it. Saquon and two good offenses. So why not a little under 3.5 for the first quarter, or no touchdown scored first half? Hell, maybe no touchdown scored in the game, something like that. That's where I would go, like, or build off of that. Like, if it's just an absolute bear of a match and nobody gets going, I would build off of that, because that's where you're going to find the most value, because nothing else is going to have value in the Super Bowl, unfortunately.
Lieboff, always a pleasure. Nick, why don't we do the read live with Lieboff on the air here, so we could do it. Come on, can we do it live?
This is tough. This is a big ask, Reed.
And then we'll get some thoughts from Peter, and then we'll put a bow on this episode. Go ahead. Here we go, Lieboff. Pay attention to this read. Look at Nick. Everyone look at Nick. Go ahead. Fire away.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnectsOntario.ca.
Oh, I get aroused with that one. Lieboff, thanks for joining us, buddy. Love you.
You got it, guys.
Guys, great stuff with Lieboff, as always. Wanted to throw in a football play involving Saquon Barkley for the Super Bowl, plus 375 for Saquon to have 30-plus receiving yards. That's longer odds than him to have two touchdowns. We know he's capable of a lot of great things, and I think if the Eagles win, he'll win the MVP. So maybe you could do a little Saquon MVP together with 30-plus receiving yards, something that I know at Penn State he learned how to catch the ball and then break off for a long run. So I could see that happening.
Okay, anything else? The three musketeers here. Everyone, what do you got? Anything? And then we can
I'm letting eat my plus 450 ticket I took in December for KC to win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. How about you, Jake?
I'm going Chiefs as well. How do you bet against Mahomes in the Super Bowl? Yeah. I can't do it. I'm going to be looking live, though. No value in the Super Bowl number.
You are looking live.
Looking live.
I like it.
There's
like
no
it.
Value. There's no value in the Super Bowl. This line's about as sharp as it's going to get. So you know the Chiefs are going to be down at some point. Everyone's going to be doubting them. And then, boom, Mahomes comes back. So I'll be looking to bet the Chiefs live at some point. I like what Petey said about the receiving yards, especially if the Eagles get down a little bit, maybe a couple dump-offs to Saquon. But I like his under-rushing yards. It's a very, very high total. Maybe you parlay the two together and you get a juicy number, right? Under rushing, over receiving. Maybe there's a bit of a correlation there. I'm gonna enjoy the Super Bowl, but it's also Waste Management Open Week. Bobby knows. Ooh. I'm a big golf guy, so I'll be dialed into that more than anything this weekend.
Okay. All righty.
Filip Hedl for Vancouver is averaging more ice time per game since the trade compared to Mikko Rantanen in Carolina. 20-plus minutes per game, three shots on goal in each of his first two games. Get Hedl to score an anytime goal against the Sharks for plus 325.
Okay, guys, let's tie a bow on this puppy. But a lot of length to today's podcast. We got to shorten things up. We all need that Four Nations break. Speaking of Four Nations, we got a preview coming at some point next week, so look out for that. Also, Zach Werenski on NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Damaris, for producer Bob Bender, Jay Kahn, Pete Jensen, and Michael Lieboff. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.